Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 14 to 22. Amazing Mercy, part 1. Now in this section, God addressing the Hebrews just before they go into Canaan, God sets out, through Moses, a tremendous, a massive argument here. And I want in these brief discourses, these thoughts on Deuteronomy, to bring home the power and the sheer immensity, the sheer force of this passage. I'm going to try and do it in three parts. In this discourse this morning, what I want to say now in Deuteronomy 10, 14, 22 is this. God's immensity. That's laying down the background. When jewelers show jewels, they lay down, say, a black background and let the diamond sparkle on the black background. The background is very important. Now, the background is not black here. It's immense. But this is a vital aspect of what's going to follow. God's immensity, the immensity of God. This is the massiveness of the argument. God's immensity. And just to bring home what I'm trying to say, the passage says this, God is immense, yet despite that immensity, in fact, in the light of that immensity, how amazing it is, amazing mercy, his mercy to Israel, that God who is so immense, so vast, infinite, that the consequences of God showing mercy, and then the consequences for Israel, these are the three parts. So God's immensity. Well, look at verse 14. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it, you see. God, having created the universe, he owns every star, every planet, every tree, every animal, all the rocks, all the sea. God, it all belongs to God. He controls it all. He rules it all. To the Lord your God belong, not just by possession, but by creation. And not just by creation, but by ordering, by providential direction, by sustenance and so on. God has everything under his dominion. He is concerned and carried along. He's carrying along. He's bearing up. He's holding. He's everything in his hands. The whole world is in his hands. Verse 17, the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes, the infinite justice of God, the utterly just God, the infinite majestic God. And you did you notice verse 15, the word yet, the Lord? Even so, the Lord would have mercy upon Israel. But the immensity of God, the great creator, the great sustainer, the only true God, the utterly just God, the fair God, verses 14 and verses 17. And now the God of action, verse 21. He is your praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. The God who intervened in Egypt. The God who intervened at Sinai. The God who worked through the wilderness. This immense God is your God. Verses 21 to 22, your forefathers who went down into Egypt were 70 and all. And now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in the sky. This is poetic. 1.5 million or 2 million, whatever it might be. But what an immensity of people had come out of Egypt. But it's the immensity of God here. And this is what God is saying to Israel as they go into the promised land. Your God is infinite. Now, of course, when we come to the new covenant, it's the same thought it precisely, but it's raised to infinite levels. I don't know how to raise it above immensity to infinity. I don't know what words to use. To think that God has sent his Son in the days of the new covenant. God incarnate among us and not only incarnate among us, suffering the contradiction of sinners against himself, going to the cross and redeeming his people by his precious blood and righteousness. No wonder John Newton said, "Amazing grace." No wonder the hymn writer said, "I stand all amazed in the presence of Jesus, the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me. Great God of wonders, all thy works," and so on. But in the great matter of salvation, the hymn I've chosen is by William Tucker, but I mean, you can see there are several we could have, perhaps a good many of them. "Infinite grace, and can it be that heaven supreme should stoop so low to visit one so vile as me, one who has been his bitterest foe? Can holiness and wisdom join with truth, with justice, and with grace to make eternal blessings mine, and sin with all its guilt erase? Oh, love," listen to these words, "oh, love beyond conception great, that formed the vast, stupendous plan." I just love these words. These men, William Tucker here, is struggling to find the right words. "Where all divine perfections meet to reconcile rebellious man." No wonder it's vast, stupendous, conception great beyond it. "There wisdom shines in fullest blaze, and justice all her rights maintains. Astonished angels stoop to gaze, while mercy o'er the guilty reigns." Yes, mercy reigns, and justice too. In Christ they both harmonious meet. He paid to justice all her due, and now he fills the mercy seat. Such are the wonders of our God. Oh, brother, oh, sister, such are the wonders of our God. And such the amazing, there's the word, depths of grace to save from wrath's vindictive rod the chosen sons of Adam's race. Oh, why did Jesus show to me the beauties of his face? Today we live in an age of the rights of man. Oh, man deserves this. Self-esteem. Well, my friend, let's get to the gospel. This is what God is doing for Israel as they go into the promised land. May we hear it in the days of the new covenant. It's the immensity of God, the glory of the triune God. That's what counts. And may all my labors and all my life and every breath be spent to the glory of this immense, this infinite God. Oh, may it be amazing mercy in my heart today. May that be the sense of it, for Christ's sake. Amen.